Now we're holding on Ayin Amud Bey is about the middle of the wide lines. The line begins, Ochel Be'ibrach Hodesh. So the Mishnah had described that in order for a boy to be a Ben Sarer Moda, it has to be that he eats meat and drinks wine. Where he gets the money for that, we're going to talk about in the next Mishnah. And we said it has to be that he eats it, that he doesn't eat it as part of a mitzvah or as part of, or that there's an aveira involved. The only aveira involved can be the actual eating of the ben sarer moda, which is itself osur. But for example, we said it can't be treif for meat or anything like that, and it can't be that there was any mitzvah involved. And we also learned the last thing we learned yesterday is it has to be in a company of empty-headed people. So now, the Mishnah had said, Ochel be'ibrach chodesh. The Mishnah had given an example where he eats at the meal of ibrach chodesh. So this would be, in other words, the Beis Din, sometimes, of course, when they were declaring Rosh Chodesh based on Edim, sometimes you'd have a 29-day month, sometimes a 30-day month. So when there was a 30-day month, then in order to publicize it, they would have something called the Sudas Ibrach Chodesh. So now the Gemara says, "Remember the boss of a yain masku." Are you telling me to begin with that people would bring meat and wine to a sudas ibrach chodesh, such that we could say then that if a ben sarer remoda eats his meat, his half roasted meat like we learned yesterday, and his half diluted wine to such a suda, then nevertheless he wouldn't be a ben sarer remoda because there is a mitzvah involved. A mitzvah de rabbanan, but a mitzvah nonetheless. V'hatanya, but we learn a brisa. Ein olam lo ela b'kas dogan v'kitnis bovad. To that sudas ibrach chodesh, we bring only bread. Pas dogan means specifically bread made from grain, as opposed to bread made from beans or something like that. And kitnis and beans. The point of it is. Now Rashi makes the point. We're not talking about that this Suda is to determine whether to make it a 30-day month. This is already after it's been declared a 30-day month. So this is just to publicize it. Rashi, by the way, points out, I don't know why it has to say pas dogon. It does mean, and as opposed to, for example, bread made out of rice or other grains outside the five grains like that, but why does it need to specify the word dogon? There's an explanation that if it just said pas kitnis, you have a Gemara in Bava Metzia that uses the word pas vikitnis, and the Gemara wonders whether it's supposed to be pas vikitnis or pas kitnis. And the Gemara ends up saying it is in fact pas vikitnis. So here to begin with the Tana of this Braisa, then in that case put in the word dogon in the first place in order to make it clear that it means bread. And the kitnis is something separate. Anyway, the point of it is, we don't want them to get drunk. It's true, we're not talking about Eon, we're not talking about looking into whether it's going to be a 30-day month or not, but nevertheless, we want them to still have a clear head. And then the Yad Ramah explains also that it's also we don't want to embarrass anybody who doesn't have better food. And then it should be Aliyah Lishma. They should be going up there Lishma. So they only have that kind of food. So there's no bread and wine there in the first place. So the answer is Hakamash Malon. That's what the Mishnah wants to tell us. Afagabda ain't Odom, but I love a pass for kidneys. Even though normally they only bring bread and beans there, the Eo asked the boss of a Yayin the Ochel, he brought their meat and wine and he ate it. So maybe we should say, well, look, he's not even following the rules. Maybe we should say that then he can be a ben sarer moda for that. No, given him a mitzvah ka'osik, since after all, he is doing a mitzvah. There is a mitzvah involved over here where of publicizing that it's Rosh Chodesh, loy mimshich, therefore he's not going to get too involved with that, and he's not going to do this again and again. And therefore the whole idea of the ben sarer moda is that we're concerned, the Torah's concerned that if he does this again and again, steals this money, eats this food, etc., he's going to do this again and again, and eventually he's going to end up being a robber and harming people. So the Torah wants to head that off to begin with. If he's doing it at a Sudas Mitzvah, then that's less likely. So let's learn a little detail about this Sudas Ibrach Chodesh. Tana Rabbanan, Ein Olam, the Ibrach Chodesh, Pochas Me'asar Bnei Adam. To have such a Sudas Ibrach Chodesh, you have not less than 10 people. Again, like we said, you bring only bread and beans there, no fancier foods than that, for the various reasons that we just mentioned. when do we go and have such a meal on the night after the 30th day? So in other words, this has been a 30-day month. So now, so now the next day, the 31st of the previous month, is going to be the first of the new month and is going to be Rosh Chodesh. That is when we have this. That is when we have this Suda. Now, this is all according to Rashi. The Yad Rama actually has a very different understanding of this whole thing. Rashi had mentioned the point. Rashi had stressed that this is Shaloi La'ayin. This is not in order to determine whether it's a 30-day month, because that's already been determined earlier in the day, and they don't need to be Mekadosh it even at this point. Rather, this is just to publicize that it's Rosh Chodesh. The Yad Rama actually has a much different understanding, and he understands that we are talking about on the night going into the 30th, and therefore, and it's actually in order to determine whether whether we should make it a 30-day month or not. So then in that case, so that being the case, then the reason why not to bring bread and wine is, again, because we want them to have we want them to have a clear mind. We don't go into such a meal by day, only by night. Tosfos points out, once we already said that it's La'uri Bure, why do we need to mention this again? Because otherwise we would have thought that it still means La'uri Bure maybe means the day before the Ibur, maybe on the 29th day. Well, the Gemara says, wait a minute, what are you telling me? We go dafka by night. V'atanya, we learn in a braisa the other way around. This Suda that we're talking about, the Suda Seber HaChodesh, is not by night, but rather by day. So what is it? Do we do it by day, or do we do it by day or by night? And the answer is, as we find that Rav Chiya Bar Abba told his sons who were going to such a Suda, he tells them, Achrifu v'ulu, go in there ahead of time. You want to be sitting there by night, because by night the voices travel more, so therefore it'll make more publicity. On the other hand, he's telling them, go in and start the Suda while it's still day. That way people, passers-by, will see that you're going in there, and that way there'll also be more piercing for it. The achrifu upuku, and he tells them when you're leaving, then also leave early in the morning. This way people will hear you. So in other words, they're supposed to have the Suda go on all night. So they start it shortly before nightfall, and you leave there early in the morning. That way people who see you leaving realize that you were forbringing there all night, and that way there's a piercing. As opposed to if they see you coming out of it later on, then they're going to think that just you had a meal just now, first thing in the morning. They're not going to realize that it was actually taking place all night. So in other words, in short, Rav Chiya Bar Abba is telling his children to make sure that it lasts all night. So that reconciles both braises. It does mostly take place by night, but it begins still while it's daytime, and it ends when it's daytime. That's all according to Rashi. The Rambam actually learns differently, and it means that they would start the Suda before sunrise. So what it means is, in other words, that both Braises are talking about the beginning of the Suda, but it means, in other words, they're starting it between Alois HaShachar and Netzach Hamah, so therefore for some purposes it's day, and for some purposes it's night. Incidentally, this gets into the whole issue, into the whole matter of Sudas Rosh Chodesh. Here we're talking about that you have Davka Suda that they would have when they're declaring a 30-day month, and we're talking about that. More generally, though, it does mention in Shulchan Aruch that a person should make himself a nicer Suda on Rosh Chodesh. Mitzvah laharvest v'sudas Rosh Chodesh. It's one of those two simonim in Shulchan Aruch. That's only one line. The simon tof yud tes in Aruch Chaim. That says mitzvah laharvest v'sudas Rosh Chodesh. And one of the sources that comes for that is this. There's also a relevant Yerushalmi and so on and so forth. So there is the point that such a thing is considered to be a sudas mitzvah. Anyway, the point is, again, that even though it's not normal to bring meat and wine to it, nevertheless, if he did, then he wouldn't become a Ben Sura Ramora because it was a Sodas Mitzvah. You have to ask anyway, especially according to the Yad Ramah that we're talking about, that this is actually to determine whether it's going to be Rosh Chodesh or not. Then we also said it has to be a company of empty-headed people. I mean, how are they going to be the ones to determine that anyway? But okay, fine. It means that maybe... So maybe it means that they decided to get together and they're going to at least publicize that Rosh Chodesh is coming. Maybe the idea is, in other words, it wasn't only the members of the Beis Din who are determining Rosh Chodesh would make such sudah. Any group of 10 people could get together and make such a sudah. They wouldn't necessarily be the ones to determine whether it's Rosh Chodesh, but nevertheless, they would help publicize the matter. Okay. Next, the Mishnah had said, Ochel Maisa Sheni b'Yerushalayim, that if he ate Maisa Sheni in Yerushalayim, he's not a Ben Sarah murder, because Kivin to Ki Urchel, who to Ka Ochel, because he's eating it in a normal way. It's normal to take Maisa Sheni money and buy meat and wine with it, like Mimshich, then therefore we're not concerned that he's going to end up doing that again, that he's going to do that again and again. There is a point, of course, it is a Sudas Mitzvah as well. However, the Tiferes Yisrael points out that maybe you could say, listen, the Mitzvah is that Maisa Sheni should be eaten in Yerushalayim, so therefore, so you can't really, so it doesn't necessarily mean any particular person has to eat it, so therefore, but nevertheless, so maybe you wouldn't call it a Sudas Mitzvah, but the point is he is doing with it what's supposed to be done with Maisa Sheni, and therefore it's not something that he's going to end up getting addicted to. Okay. On the other hand, we said in the Mishnah, Ochel Nevelah Setreifah Shkotzim Ramosim. We said that if he eats Nevelah, Treifah, and other kinds of food that's also like that, then also he doesn't become a Ben Sarah murderer. So, Omar Rav, Ochel Bsar Oif, Einan, so in this connection, and the point is, I mean, you would think that logically he should. I mean, he's violating then not only what his parents want of him, but also what Hashem wants of him. Nevertheless, that's Xeris HaKosev, that's how it is. That only if his meal is not otherwise violating Torah, only then is he punishable as a Ben Sarah murder. So Omar Rava, Ochel Bsar Oif Einim Nasa Ben Sarah Murder. Rava says that if he eats bird meat, chicken, or other kinds of birds, then he's not a Ben Sarah Murder. For the same reason, he's not going to end up doing that again and again. The reason that we're having throughout the perek again and again, Loi Mimshech Basrei, he's not likely to get so much into this. Meaning, in other words, a person eats beef, for example. A person eats animal meat. Then he feels like doing that again and again. As opposed to over here, he eats bird meat. It's likely to be a one time thing, or not so often that he's going to do it again and again. So the Gemara says, "V'hanan tnan ochel nevelus etreifas shkotzim uramosim ein nasa ben sarah murder." The Mishnah had mentioned when he eats non-kosher food, then he's not a ben sarah murder. Hot to hurt him, implying that if it's any tohor creature, nasa ben sarah murder. So who says where do you see in the Mishnah that it has to be animal meat? So the answer is kitnan nami masnisin lahashlim. Fine, but what the Mishnah is talking about to complete it. We learned in the Mishnah, in order for him to be chayev, he needs to eat a tartimer of meat, which is a certain weight. We talked about yesterday, approximately 12 ounces, give or take. So therefore, so if he mostly ate it of animal meat, and then some of it was bird meat, then it's mashlim, then we can say he's chayev in the aggregate because altogether he ate a tartimer of meat. In other words, as opposed to if we were to be mashlim it with treif of meat, then it wouldn't work. But on the other hand, if he eats the whole tartimer or most of it out of bird meat, then it wouldn't work and he wouldn't be a ben sarah murderer. All right. The Mishnah had then continued Dvar Mitzvah, Ochol Dvar Shul Mitzvah, Udvar Avera. The Mishnah had said if he eats something that is a mitzvah or something that is an Avera, so what else are we adding besides what we said before? Dvar Mitzvah would be, for example, Tanchomi Avelim. If he eats by a meal to be Menachem Ovel. So it's a mitzvah, Dirabanan. And therefore, that doesn't make him a Ben Sarah murder. Now, we did mention before the Sudas Iber HaChodesh, which is also the Rabbanan, but the point is there we needed to explain the whole Chiddush about that he brought meat and wine, even though that's not normally something that's done. As opposed to, here we're including all the other, see, here we're including all other mitzvahs to Rabbanan. For example, Tanchomi Avelin, Dvar Avera. So that Rashi explains that that's the point. In other words, that we mentioned the Chavuras Mitzvah. So you would think maybe that means, you would think without that, Chavuras Mitzvah means, let's say, for example, Koyanim eating Kodshim or something. You wouldn't realize that it means even a Mitzvah Dirabanan like that. Dvar Aveda, what we include as a matter of an Aveda, would be, for example, Tainus Sibur. Let's say, for example, he eats on a fast day. Even though it's only also the Rabbanon, nevertheless, it's still, he's still not a Ben Sura murder. The time am I, why not? Omakura, because the Pasuk says, the parents say to Beis Din, Enenu Shemea Bekelenu. He doesn't listen to our voice. Now, so what does that add? Means Bekelenu, Veloy Bekoila Shomokam. It means he's not listening to our voice, but not that we're saying that he's not listening to Hashem's voice. So in other words, if his eating also is disobeying Hashem, and after all, Dirabonan's also, Loy Sosum and Adavar is also a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah midaraisa to listen to the Chachamim, so therefore it comes out, therefore, that he's also disobeying Hashem, you're gonna say, obviously, Kavachomer, but that's a Zeres HaKosov, and that's it. Okay. Next, the Mishnah had said, Ochoko Maicho Veloy Ocho Basa, Shosa Komashke Veloy Shosa Yayin Vecholo. We said if he ate any other food other than meat, or he drank any other drink other than wine, then he's not a Ben Sura Murder. So, Ochoko Maicho Veloy Ocho Basa, what is the Mishnah adding with that point? We already said that he has to eat meat and drink wine. So, by mentioning that point, La Suya Dvela Ke'ilis. It comes to include if he ate figs from Ke'ilah. Ke'ilah is a city in, Ke'ilah is a city in Eretz Yisrael. The figs of the figs from there were particularly juicy and a little bit fermented, and therefore a person would eat them, and he would feel a little lightheaded. He would feel a little drunk. So even though it makes him drunk, even though it makes him lightheaded and drunk as a similar thing to wine, nevertheless it isn't wine, and that wouldn't make him a Ben Sura murder. Shosa komashka v'lo shosa yayin, and when it says he drank any other drink other than wine, lasui dvash v'cholav, that would come to include, for example, if he drank wine, if he drank honey or milk, which also have the ability, especially, you know, nowadays to keep milk in the fridge and it's pasteurized and it doesn't ferment, but back in the day, sometimes the milk would start fermenting a little bit and you'd have a certain alcohol content in it, and therefore it could make you lightheaded. The Tanya, as in fact we learn in a Braisa, we have an example where such things are considered a certain kind of drunkenness. Ochol dveila ke'ilas v'shosa dvash v'cholav. If a person ate these figs from ke'ilah or drank honey or wine, v'nichnas v'mikdash, and he goes and he's a kohen and he goes into the mikdash and does the avoda, chayev. And he'd be chayev malchus because he's doing the avoda when he's drunk. He wouldn't be chayev mitza for it, the Gemara mentions elsewhere. But nevertheless he wouldn't get mitzvah. But the point is, we see that over there, eating and drinking these kinds of things is considered a type of drunkenness. But when it comes to Ben Sura Ramoda, then we don't. It has to davka be meat and davka wine. Okay. The Mishnah had said, Ein Anasa Ben Sura Ramoda Ad She Yechol Bosa V'Yishta Yain. So it becomes a Ben Sura Ramoda only if he eats meat and drinks wine. And the Mishnah had said that a remez for that is the fact that the Torah calls him Zolo V'Soyve, a glutton and a drunkard, and we learned from a Pasuk in Mishlei where it uses those terms about eating meat and about drinking wine. So, Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, Ochol Kol Maicho V'Lo Ochol Basar, if he ate any other food but not meat, Shosa Kol Mashka V'Lo Shosa Yain, and drank any other drinks but didn't drink wine, Ein Anasa Ben Sura Ramoda. Only if he eats meat and drinks wine. Shenema, as we said, as we learned in the Mishnah, as the Pasuk says, Zolo v'soyve, that he's a glutton and a drunkard, v'af b'shein ray l'dover, zeich l'dover, and even though there's no raya for it, there's a remembrance for it. Shenema, al ti v'soyve yayin, as the Pasuk says, don't be among those who drink wine, v'zolo v'vosolome, with those who are glutton, who gluttonously eat meat. So we see that the words glutton and drunkard, zolo and soyve, refer to, in that Pasuk, to meat and wine. So far, it's the same as the Mishnah, but now the Braisa adds a detail, the Omer, and he was another Pasuk in Mishlei that also refers to a Solo, to a Sova and a Zolo, and talks about the negative effects of them. We learned all about yesterday about the negative effects of wine, so here's another one. The Pasuk says, Ki Sova is Zolo Yivorish, the drunkard and the glutton are going to, the reason it's bringing it in, because the next Pasuk, having mentioned the Pasuk, Al Tiba Sova Yain, Bezolo Vasalamai, the next Pasuk continues, Ki Sova is Zolo Yivorish, because the drunkard and the glutton are going to end up poor. Or Kroyim Talbish Numa, and the people who are sleepy end up wearing ripped clothes.
So in other words, here he's into his hanos, the numos, he's into his hanos, the meat and wine, and the upshot is he ends up using up all his money, and therefore he becomes poor and he ends up having to wear ripped clothes. So the Gemara mentions another drosha on this pasuk. Omer Reb Zera called Yoshin beBeis Medrash, a person who sleeps in the Beis Medrash, Torah Nasas like Kroyim Kroyim. What happens is his Torah ends up becoming for him rips upon rips. Meaning, in other words, he ends up forgetting his learning. All he remembers is bits and pieces of it. Shenemo, kroyim, talbish, numa, because the word numa in that pasuk means sleepiness. So therefore, his sleepiness results that he's being clothed in ripped clothing. What's the idea behind it? Is because if he falls asleep, if he's sleeping in the Beis Medrash, means in other words, meanwhile people are going on and learning, and then he has a hard time catching up. So therefore, all he ends up with ripped pieces, a little here, a little there. Because then he has to kind of skip to catch up with them, and therefore he ends up only knowing his Torah. It becomes very patchy. So that's another thing we learn from these words, Okroim Talbish Numar. Next, the Mishnah says, Gonav Mishol Oviv. Now, if he steals money from his father's Rishus, the Ochal Rishus Oviv, and he eats the meat and wine also in his father's Rishus, in his father's house, or Chotzer, or whatever, or Mishal Achedim, the Ochal Rishus Achedim, or he steals money from other people, not from his father, and he eats it in those other people's Rishus, or Mishal Achedim, or he steals from others and eats it in his father's rishus. Ain't a nasa ben sora remota. Also, with those things, he does not become a ben sora remota. And even if, when we say that he stole from achirim and ate an achirim, Rashi points out, means even if he stole from one achirim and ate in a different achirim's rishus. When does he become a ben sora remota? Ad she yigneb mishal aviv v'yochel rishus achirim. It has to doubt be that he steals from his father and he eats the meat and wine in somebody else's rishus. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, Oma, Ad Sheyignu, Mishal Ovim, Mishal Imoi. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda says it's not enough that he steals from his father. It also has to be that he steals from his mother. So the Yad Ramah brings over here. Where do we know this from? He brings from Sifri. Where, you know, the pasuk starts off introducing the Ben Sora Remota. Einenu Shemeya B'Kol Ovim B'Kol Imoi. He's not listening to his father. He's not listening to the voice of his father and of his mother. So you would think the Sifri says maybe that means anytime they tell him to do something and he doesn't do it, then he should be Chayev. Then he should be a Ben Sora Remota. No, we'll have Gzeira Shava on the word Einenu Shemeya. That it means that he's a zol of the sove and that he's stealing. We learn from a zeta shava of it. So therefore it also has to be so he's stealing from his father, and so Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda is saying that because it mentions that he doesn't listen to his father and to his mother, then therefore it means he has to steal from both of them in order to be chayev. So the Gemara explained why in the first three cases he not chayev. Gonav mishal aviv va'ochal mishus aviv. Afar gav the shchiach lei. It is true that it's easy for him to get the money because it is his father's money and it's available. Bois, but on the other hand, he's also afraid to eat in his father's rishus because his father then is going to realize what's going on. The son is stealing from him. Therefore, again, it's not going to be loy mimshich. He's not going to do this again and again. Mishal Achedim v'ochav Rishus Achedim. Why is he potter if he stole from others and ate it in the Rishus of others? Again, even if it's different others. Afo gav d'leid bois. So there, he's not afraid because they're not going to necessarily catch on so easily. But like Shchiach Le, it's not as easy for him to get because he's the other people's money is not as easily available to him. V'koshkin, Mishal Achedim v'ochav Rishus Achedim. All the more so, the third case of the Mishnah. He stole from others, ate in the Rishus of his father. Then for sure, there's two strikes against him being a Ben Sora Remota. It's not easy for him to get a hold of that money, so it's probably not going to happen again and again. And he's afraid of his father. The Shchiach Le, uvois, it's not easily available, and he's afraid. That's why it has to be he steals from his father and eats in the rishus of others. There it's easy for him to get the money and he's not afraid. That would be the case where he can become a ben sora remota. Next, the Mishnah had said, Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda, Oima, actually, even the Mishal Ovar Mishal Imai. The question is, according to Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda, Imai Minale, where does his mother have money in the first place? Connor Byler. Don't we have the general rule that whatever a wife acquires, her husband acquires, and therefore, so she doesn't have any independent money of her own for the son to be stealing and becoming a ben sora remota. Now, the Orachoneh points out, I mean, the Gemara could have given a simple answer. Later on, we're going to say it doesn't have to be that the parents are actually married to one another. They could have never been married in the first place. They could have been divorced. The Gemara could easily give such an answer, but instead the Gemara apparently wants to find a way that the money will belong to her even if she and her husband are married. So the answer is Amar Rabbi Yosi Reb Chanina, Misu'uda Hamuchenes La'Aviv La'Imai. We're not talking about that he stole money from them necessarily. He stole meat and wine from a suda that was prepared for both of them. So the Gemara asks, we learned before that he's not chayiv unless he buys the meat and the wine cheaply and eats and drinks. As we learned before, what it means is he finds a place where they're selling it at a lower price than normal. So we're not talking about that he stole actual meat and wine. We're talking about that he stole money and used it to buy meat and wine. Fine, so what it means is that he stole money that was being set aside for a suda for his parents. So that's one possibility. Another possibility, the Akne Lo Acher, somebody else was makna the money to the mother, the Omala, and he tells her, I'm giving you this money, I'm condition that your husband doesn't have any reshus in it. So now she would have independent money, and therefore so Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda is saying that the son would have to have stolen from her as well in order for him to be a ben sora remota. The halacha is like the chachamim, though it doesn't matter whether the stealing was done from the mother, but it does have to be from the father. Mishnah says, if the father wants to have the son judged as a ben sora remota and the mother does not, or the other way around, the father doesn't want and the mother does want, then he won't be a ben sora remota ad shneim roitzin, only if both of them agree. Because since the pasuk says v'sof savoy over v'imoy, it says his father and his mother grab a hold of him and they bring him to Beis Din and they tell Beis Din what's going on. So that implies both of them have to want it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer im loy hoyse imoy ru'uyo la'aviv. So both of them have to agree. In fact, there was an interesting point that Rabbeinu Bachaye makes the point. What's the idea behind it? What's the idea behind the idea of Ben Sora Remota is that it teaches us that here you have Derech Klal. You would say what kind of a father would want to have his son executed for doing these kinds of things. Nonetheless, the Torah is telling us that hypothetically it could happen, and that teaches us something about our relationship with the Eivishter, that it is we're Hashem's children. Nevertheless, though, we should realize we can't just get away with whatever we want. Rabbi Yehuda says that if the mother was not suitable for the father, and then, in other words, as we'll see in the Gemara, what he means, then he won't be a ben sora remota unless they're allowed to be married in halacha. So let's focus on what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. My ainu ra'uya. What do we mean exactly that she's not roy? Do we mean that the two parents are? Do we mean that the two parents are also to one another because there's kores or missus basin involved? Kores would be, for example, all arayas involve kores. All arayas involve kores. Some of them also involve missus basin, as we've been learning earlier in the previous parak. So you're going to say that it means that they were also to marry one another on those grounds. But after all, why would we think that would prevent him from being a ben sora remota? The fact remains that those are his father and those are his mother. So he's going to be. There's no reason he shouldn't be chayav misa. El of the shovel of his ka'amar. Rather, what Rabbi Yehuda means when he says ru'uya la'aviv and ru'uya la'imay means that there's a certain suitability between them. they're equal in appearance and voice, as the Gemara is going to go on to say. So if they're not, then Rabbi Yehuda considers that they're not considered roy over leimai. So actually what Rabbeinu Bachaya says is, in other words, so what he says is like this, in other words, that as much as the parents love their child, there's no stronger love than parents to children, nevertheless, when Hashem says to do differently, then they themselves would bring them to the Beis Din for Skila. We actually find, for example, just like we find with Avraham, with Hakedas Yitzchak. So in other words, he's saying, as Gemara is going to go on to say, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the whole concept of the Ben Sora murder never actually happened, but nevertheless, Rabbeinu Bachaya says that we can say that we can learn from that power, how powerful Avas Hashem has to be, that it should override, when necessary, even the Abba, even the natural Abba of parents to children. So Tanya and Amihach, we learn also in a Braisa, so what does Rabbi Yehuda mean by they have to be equal? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Imloy Hoysa Aviv, Imloy Hoysa Imoy, Shavel Aviv, Bekoil, Over Mara, Over Koima, if the mother and the father are not the same as far as their voice and their appearance and their height, ain't a nasa ben sora remota, then he won't be able to be a ben sora remota. So when Rabbi Yehuda says in the Mishnah, ru'uya la'ogim, doesn't mean usually in Gemara terminology, ru'uya or she'ena ru'uya, means that there's an issue for them to get married, but no, here it means that they actually have to look and sound the same. My time, because the pasuk says he doesn't listen to our voice, and our voice means, in other words, that they're speaking with one voice. So midikoyl be'in and shavin, since we see that they have to have the same voice, says Rabbi Yehuda, marav koyma be'inami be'in and shavin, then the same thing would be as far as their height and as far as their appearance. Rabbi Yehuda would assume that they all have to be the same. Where do we get that from? Why would we say that? Because one has to be the same, then the others have to be the same as well. So the Tosfos Yom Tov explains, we find a similar thing, for example, and in other cases where we say there has to be a certain similarity between two things, for example, the two goats that are brought on Yom Kippur, Lashem and Lazazel, where it says they have to be the same as far as height and appearance and all. So the same way we see over here that when the Torah is saying, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that they have to be alike in one way, then therefore they should be alike in the other ways as well. Marsha gives a different explanation. Let's consider the Ben Sura Mora, his father and his mother are telling him off and telling him, don't do this. The Yisroisa of Avima means, it means eventually he's going to get Malchus, but before that, obviously they've been trying to talk to him and tell him that you're doing wrong and you need to shape up. Now, and the Pasuk is implying that they give him Musa together. So why that? So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says that means, in other words, their voices are so similar that he would afterwards be able to have an excuse and saying, wait a minute, the two of you together never gave me Musar. That he could say, never mind, the two together. Each time I thought it was my father giving me Musar and never my mother because you sound alike. So therefore, that's why it would have to be that then when the two of them are speaking together, and then that way it's clear that the two of them. Now, what about then, even if he can't, so you're gonna say, wait a minute, so they won't have the same, they'll have the same voice, but how could he use such an excuse? What do you mean? They look different. So therefore, it has to be that they looked the same as well, and conceivably, he could get away with such an excuse and say that I thought that it was always the same parent that was giving me Musar. So that's how Marsha explains it. Ben Yehoyada makes a point as well, also that the Torah wants that both of them are going to be talking to him together. But one thing is also the implication is that it has to be that he's being over on two morois at once, that he's being over on disobeying both of them at once. Now, if they have different voices, we have a concept in halacha called trei koli lo mishtami, two voices when two people are talking over one another, you can't really hear either of them clearly. That is why it has to be that they have the same exact voice. So now he says kind of faket, when the father is talking with him, it seems to him like his mother is talking to him as well, and he's disobeying both of them. So now the Torah says, once they have that they're alike in all these three things, then he feels each time that one parent is talking to him, this is almost the opposite of Marsha, then he feels as though both of them are talking to him. And then he's disobeying both of them, and therefore that would be that he's over on Mora Ab and Mora Aim at the same time. Ben Yehoyada, by the way, goes on to point out that on the face of it, how is it possible for them to have the same voice anyway? Wouldn't that, for a man to have a high-pitched voice like a woman, or a woman to have a low-pitched voice like a man, is one of the synonym of a Swiss or Ilonis. So he says, because we find elsewhere in the Gemara, when it deals with that matter, that only if a person has all those simonim, one or a few of the simonim of Swiss or Ilonis, is not enough to make them that they are, so it's possible for his parents to actually be his parents and to have fathered and mothered him, and still the father has a higher pitched voice than normal, or the mother has a lower pitched voice than normal. Anyway, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's how it has to be. I once saw a vote on it that the deeper idea behind it is that it means that when a child is going off the derech, unfortunately, many times we can say, you know, it's not his fault, his parents didn't give him a proper chinuch, and one point is, if they don't have the same voice, meaning they're not on the same page, then how much can you blame him, a boy, for going off the derech? You have more what to blame the parents. Only if they're koyel echad and they really are both on the same page, and they're both giving him the proper chinuch, the way it's supposed to be, and if it still doesn't work out, then you can talk about it's more his fault than theirs. Okay. Anyway, the point is, again, going back to the Gemara, so Rabbi Yehuda is requiring that they all need to be the same. So, Keman Ozva Hodetanya. So now, according to which Tana is the following Braisa that says, Ben Sor Ramona, Loi Hoyav Loi Osib Liyas. The Ben Sor Ramona never was, never will be. V'loma Nichtav, why is it written, Drosh for Kabal Schar? So we should doubt in it and receive reward from Hashem for learning Torah. So, Keman, who would that be like? Rabbi Yehuda, necessarily that must be like Rabbi Yehuda. Because, according to the Chachamim, they don't require that the parents have the same voice and the same appearance, and so forth, and therefore it's very possible that a boy would go and do what we've been saying so far, and stealing money, and eating meat and wine, etc. But only according to Rabbi Yehuda, are we saying it's impossible because realistically you're never going to have parents that have the same exact appearance and height and voice. So again, you have what Rabbeinu Bahaye says in his Pirush on Chumash, that we learn from this the greatness of Avas Hashem, how far a person has to go in Avas Hashem. Ben Yehoyada brings a point that also it means that we should learn Musar for ourselves. The Yetzer Hara might try to convince us, listen, Bonim Atam L'Hashem Alekechem, you're Hashem's children, you can get away with whatever you want. So we tell them that no, we tell the Yetzer Hara that no, you see from this story of Ben Sor Ramona, that no, a boy doesn't get away with whatever he wants. He might actually get himself killed for not listening to his parents, in the same way we're not listening to you, we're not listening to you, Yetzirah, we're listening to Hashem. The Zohar, in fact, in that connection, mentions what's the father and the mother, because Hashem relates to us as both. We have Zohar and we have Malchus, we have Kudsh Brichu and Shchinte, and therefore, so we can talk about those two different aspects of how we relate to Hashem as father and as mother. Anyway, this Braisa is according to Rabbi Yehuda. Another possibility, though, is that Braisa that says that the Ben Sor Ramona never was and never will be might be according to Rabbi Shimon. Netanya, Omer Rabbi Shimon, so Rabbi Shimon says, V'chim ipnesha, ochol zeh tarkima boser, v'shotza hatzilug yayna italki. You're telling me that because this boy ate a tarkima of meat and drank a half a lug of Italian wine, or a half an Italian lug of wine, over the imotzian oisir l'soikloi, you're telling me a father and mother would take him out to get skila? What parents would do such a thing, says Rabbi Shimon? Not a matter of it couldn't happen that a boy might do that, but what parents would then go and say that their son should get skila for doing this kind of thing? So therefore, Rav Shimon also says, never was, never will be, v'lama nichtav duresh v'kabal schar, it's written only that we should darish in it and get schar from Hashem. So, okay, so two tanoim who hold that it's impossible, Rabbi Yehuda because the conditions for it would never happen, Rav Shimon because even if the conditions happen, the parents would never go through with it. On the other hand, Omer Rabbi Yonason, Anira Isti V'yashavti Al Kivroi. On the other hand, Rabbi Yonason says, I saw a case of a Ben Sor Ramona, and I sat on or near his grave. Rabbeinu Bahaya says that even Rabbi Yonason is maybe not saying a true Ben Sor Ramona. Maybe he's talking about, for example, Avshalom, who rebelled against David and almost killed him. So he's not exactly a Ben Sor Ramona, but he's like the next thing to hit. Okay. Similarly, the Gemara says, "Keman ozla hodetanya." What about according to which Tana is the following Braisa? Irani dachas lehoisav loyasivelius. The Irani dachas never was and never will be. V'lomanichtav adureish for kabel schar. Again, why is it written in order to daushin and get a schar for learning Torah?
So, Kaman, who would that be like? Rabbi Eliezer. Specifically, that would be like Rabbi Eliezer. The Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer. Kol Irsh, Yeshba, Afila, Mezuzah, Achas. If the city has even one mezuzah in it, Ein Anasas, Irani Dachas, then it can't become an Irani Dachas. Even to find a Jewish city, an entire Jewish city, where there's not one single mezuzah, impossible. Therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says, it's impossible that it would happen. My timer. Why does Rabbi Yehuda hold that? Why does Rabbi Eliezer rather hold that? Omakro, because the Pasuk says about an Irani Dachas, we're going to talk about the Irani Dachas extensively at the end of Omasechta, but anyway, the Pasuk says, Ve'eskol shlola tikboitz al toich rechoiva, gather all the spoils of the Irani Dachas, all the property of the Irani Dachas, into the city square, the Sarafta Ba'esh, and burn it in fire. Now, v'kivin de'ikim mezuzah, if there's a mezuzah, if there's a single mezuzah in town, lo yefshir, then you can't. Dichtiv lo yisasim keim l'ashem alekechem, because the Pasuk says, you're not allowed to do that. Previously, the Pasuk said that you have to destroy and burn and get rid of all of Avodah Zarah. But the Pasuk continues, Lo yisasim keim l'Hashem alekechem, do not do that to Hashem, from which we learn that you're not allowed to destroy Kisrei HaKodesh or anything of Kedusha. So therefore, so now you can't, because then you wouldn't be able to burn the city, because then you'd be over on the issur of burning the mezuzah. There is a considerable amount of discussion among Achronim. Wait a minute, Eser Doicha Loisah, say you have an Eser to burn the Irani Dachas. Here you're saying you have a Loisah, say Lois Fasim Kein Lashem Alekechem. Why shouldn't the Eser of the Irani Dachas, of burning the Irani Dachas, override the Loisah, say of the Loisah, say of Lois Fasim Kein Lashem Alekechem? So a number of Achronim bring up that point, and the Margolius Hayam over here discusses at some length and brings a few possibilities. First of all, maybe the essay is only fulfilled only when the whole city is burnt, and meanwhile the mezuzah is getting burnt before that point. So therefore, maybe so then you're over on the loisah said before being behind the essay. That doesn't work according to everybody. And then another reason is essay doicha loisah said doesn't apply to things involving korbanos. So therefore, it doesn't we find elsewhere in the Gemara. So therefore, maybe it doesn't apply to things involving destroying the name of Hashem as well. Because the Torah only wants us to burn the property, the individual property of the people, as we're going to learn in the last parak, what's called Shlal Shamayim, property of Hashem, that's in that city, does not have to be destroyed. So now, therefore, so there's no Esther to burn the mezuzah, and therefore you wouldn't have Esther Doichaloisis. And I guess realistically, you wouldn't be able to go and pick out all the mezuzahs from the city. You wouldn't be able to find every single one. And then finally, there are Achronim who argue that maybe there's an Esse and a Lois Esse involved in destroying Hashem's name. You have the mitzvah of Yahavta as Hashem, or Esse Hashem al-Kechatira, or various other things like that. So therefore, so all told, that in that case, there'd be an Esse and a Lois Esse involved in destroying Hashem's name, destroying a mezuzah, and therefore, and when there's an Esse and a Lois Esse, then the Esse of burning the Irani Dachas can't apply to it. Again, this is all according to Rabbi Eliezer. The Chachamim would say it doesn't matter. According to the Chachamim, maybe you would, in fact, gather up all the mezuzahs and put them in Sheamus. We'll learn about that at the end of the Masechta. So, again, Omer Rabbi Yonason again disagrees and says an Irani Dachas is most certainly possible. Anira Isiya v'yashavti altila. I saw an Irani Dachas, and I sat on the ruins of it. Again, he may mean not a true Irani Dachas, but for example, he might mean the city of Yericho, which was treated when they first conquered Eretz Yisrael, and they captured and burnt the city of Yericho and treated it almost like an Irani Dachas. Okay. Here's another one. Keman Ozla Hodetanya, which Tana? So far we have, in other words, we have the Ben Sora Murder, where there's a Braitha that says it can never happen. And we said either Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Shimon would hold of that, would be the author of that Braitha. We have an Irani Dachas, according to one opinion, can never happen. That would be according to Rabbi Eliezer. Here's another one. Keman oz v'hodetanya, bais hamenuga loyhoyer v'loy osud liyas. The concept that a house has tzaras, and that you have to tear down the house, is that never was and never will be. V'loma nichtav, so why is it written? Jerush v'kabal schar, is for us to darshan and receive schar from Hashem. Keman k'rabba loz v'rab Shimon. That would be specifically according to Rabbi Eliezer v'rab Shimon, who holds that the conditions to be tzaras on a house, for the house to have to be dealt with, is
very limited. Ditznan, we learn in the Mishnah, in Negoyim, where it deals with these halachas, Reb Elazar, Reb Shimon Omer, La'olam ena bayis tomei, the house will never become tomei with saras, ad shiyiroh, kishtei grisin, unless the spot is the size of two grisin. A gris is a type of bean. It comes up in Hilchos Nida, among other things, so therefore the poskim dealt with what the size of it is. There's different opinions among the poskim. Now, whatever makes it approximately the size of a dime, other poskim make it approximately the size of a penny. Anyway, so that would be one gris. So two grisin would be twice that size. I'll stay up on him. On two stones, b'shneik solim, that are on two walls, b'keren zavis, at a corner, so it has to davka be, in other words, that the tzaras will be davka in the corner, extended from one stone, on one wall, to the other stone, that's on the adjacent wall. Okay, k'shnei grisin, v'roch b'kegris, the length of the tzaras is at least two grisin, and the width of it is at least one gris. So in other words, each wall is going to have at least one gris square. Now, this is very uncommon for that kind of thing to happen, and therefore the Braisa can say that such a thing never was and never will happen. My time is the Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. Why does he hold that it has to be that configuration? Because ksiv kir uchtiv kir rois. Because in the section about in Parshas Metzora, where it talks about tzaras of houses, first it says that he sees a nega b'kir rois habayis in the walls of the house, but then it says that the kohen comes and sees anumarei and shofel min akir, that it looks like it looks depressed into the wall. So ksiv kir uchtiv kir rois, it says a wall, and it says two walls, ezeu kir shuhu kiris, which wall is in effect two walls, heavy omer zakeren zavis, that means a corner where two walls meet. On the other hand, so therefore, according to him, it never happens. On the other hand, Tanya, Omer Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik, Mokum Hoya B'Tchum Aza, there was a place in the vicinity of the city of Aza, Gaza, they called it the wound house with Tzaras. So in other words, there was a house with Tzaras over there that had to be demolished. And since they never rebuilt it, so they called it the ruin with Tzaras. So we see, in other words, according to that opinion, there was in fact a house with Tzaras in Eretz Yisrael in the vicinity of Aza. Amr of Shimon Ishkvan, nowadays we have other tzaras there that needs to be cleaned out, but anyway. Amr of Shimon Ishkvan Akoy, here's another example. Pa macha salakti le golil. One time, Rav Shimon says, I went to the golil, to the north of Eretz Yisrael, v'reisi mokam shemet sainin oisei. I saw a place that they were marking so that people shouldn't overshadow it. Now normally that would mean that there's too much mess over there, but here in this case, they told me, Avonim and Ugois, Pinul Hashem, they had taken away to their stones from a house that had Saras, whereas the Pesukim described, you have to take away the stones and put in new stones and replaster, and those stones themselves are Matamid Ba'oihol as well. So we see that there were at least two places in Eretz Yisrael where there was, in fact, Saras of houses. One in Aza, where they had to demolish the house, and the other one in the Golo, where they had to take stones out of it. Okay. The Mishnah continues, getting back to the Ben Sura Gemara. Hoya echad mehem gidim. If either one of the parents was an amputee, he or she had their hand or their arm amputated, or chigger, or lame, missing a foot, oi ilaim, or unable to speak, oi suma, or blind, in all oi cheresh, or deaf. In all those cases, ain inasa ben sora remota. In all those cases, the boy can't become a ben sora remota. Kenema, because the pasuk says v'sof suvoi, the pasuk says they should grab him v'sof suvoi over v'imoi, which implies well they're gidmin, so they can't be amputees because then they wouldn't be able to grab him. As the pasuk says v'itziu oisa, they bring him out to Beis Din, so that means v'lo chigrin, they can't be lame. V'omru, they speak to the Beis Din, that means v'lo ilman, so they can't be mute. B'neinu zeh, they say this son of ours, implies v'lo suman, that they're not blind, that they're able to point to him and say this is our son. When they say nenu shemea b'kleilenu, he's not listening to our voice, then v'lo chershed, so it means they can't be deaf. So it has to be all these criteria. They can't be any of these things, and if they are, then the ben sora remota. Rashi points out that even though you're going to say, wait a minute, so they're telling him what to do, and they still see that he's not doing it later on, nevertheless, the point is that the fact is, the Gemara is going to explain on Amud Beis, this whole
posik as extra. We didn't really need this posik to tell us the din of ben sora to murder, therefore we can douse in these points from it that it has to be like this. That it has to be that when they're telling him the Musa, when they're being Mashiach him, then right away they can see that he's not accepting what they're saying. And therefore, for example, that can't be that they're blind or that they're blind or deaf, etc. So the Mishnah continues. By the way, the Maharsha mentions the point over there when we learned before, Reb Shimon had said, what do you mean? That because he's eating meat and drinking wine, therefore they give him skila. So drosh v'kabel schar means, in other words, that people should realize to give musar proactively to their children and make sure that they don't, instead, the father and the mother should be raising their children for Torah. And each one of them, the father and the mother, has their schus in helping raise a proper child. So when one or the other of them is not getting involved and the children just end up doing bittul Talmud Torah, they end up not learning and they end up wasting their time, then that's a problem. So that's the Durish v'kabel schar that we learn from it. The Mishnah continues. Masrin bo b'fnei shloisha. They give hasra to him in front of three. Now the Gemara is going to ask why. You only need two for hasra usually, so we'll see in the Gemara what that means. And if he doesn't listen, then they give him malchus. And after that, Chozer v'kilkol, if he still goes and acts badly again and does the same thing and steals and eats the meat and wine, etc., Nidin be'esrim l'shloisha, then he has to get judged by a beis din of 23, and then they're the ones who sentence him to skila. Ve'enin nisko ad shiusham shloisha harishonim, in order for him to get skila, it has to be that the original three dayonim who gave him malchus, because we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, you only need three dayonim for malchus, those three have to be present there with the 23. They don't necessarily have to be members of the 23 member based, and that they have to at least be present. Shenema, as the pasuk says, that the parents say to the basin, "V'neinu ze, this our son," meaning "Zeu shaloka b'fneichem," this is our son who previously got malchus in your presence. Okay. Now, so we said in the Mishnah that you have to have all these details. You have to have that the parents can't be lame or blind, etc. All the other things that we mentioned in the Mishnah because of the expression in the pasuk. That where they say the soft boy, where they grab a hold of him, the Votziu, and they take him, etc. Now we have a machloikus in various places in Shas called Bo'inen Krok Dichtiv. When the pasuk says details, we learned this earlier in the Masechta. Do we require the details to be done exactly as it says in the pasuk? We talked about earlier in the Masechta, for example, where the Torah tells us Yada Edim Tia Bo'Barishona, the Edim have to be the first ones to throw the first stone or to do whatever it comes, whatever whichever kind. And this is based in it is that they were the ones. So we talked about over there what happens if they're missing their hands. Then is he potter from this or not? What happens? So and we talked about there over there the concept of b'in and krok d'chtiv. Do we require that a posik be fulfilled exactly, or can we say the posik is talking the usual way things are done, but nevertheless it can be done differently? Here it seems that we have a proof that b'in and krok d'chtiv. That is ma'akavim m'di'evin. The answer is no. Shiny hocha. The Kula Kroy Yisero, who here it's different. The entire Pasuk is otherwise unnecessary. Because once we're saying that it's a Ben Sora murder, all it has to say is, Voitseisimo, so you bring him out, El Shara Irahi, to the gate of that city, or scout him and you give Skila. Why do you need the whole Pasuk that his father and his mother grab a hold of him, and they take him out to the basin, and they say, this son of ours, etc., etc., so therefore we can douch in that from the Pasuk that you need all these details. Okay. Now, we said a master in b'fnei shloisha. We said we give him hasra in front of three. The question is, what do you mean three? Lama li b'tzrei sagya. Two is usually enough for hasra. The answer is Amar Abaye Hachi Kamer Masrin b'fnei shnayim u'malkin osi b'fnei shloisha. What it means is that the hasra has to be given in front of two, but the malchus has to be given in front of three, as malchus usually is, because as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, you need three for malchus. Now, Rashi explains that the hasra that we're talking about over here is not really the regular kind of hasra. Rashi points out that it's true that usually a person gets hasra only with malchus, but the problem is over here, first of all, we need edim. We don't necessarily have that, but more to the point, this is hasra suffic. What do you mean? We have to give him hasra. If you do this, you're going to be chayav malchus. We don't know whether he's going to follow through with all the details that we've been learning in the last few mishnayos. So therefore,
And after all, he's doing it later on, and he's doing it in secret. So how would there be Asura anyway? So no, Rashi says the Asura over here means Mechichinoisei, since the Pesukos of Yisroisei, they have to give him Musar, means, in other words, they have to warn him not to keep on doing this. So in other words, Rashi is saying that here, after the first time when he steals and eats the meat and wine and so forth, then Beis Din gives him a reprimand. So we're not talking about regular Hasura, we're telling him, don't do this again. And then if he does this again, then he gets Malkus, and then he gets Malkus, and then eventually if he keeps on doing this again. So therefore, the Mishnah is talking about this unique Hasura that you give him to begin with, which therefore that's why the Mishnah says that you need it in front of three, because it's Taki, you do need it in front of three. But when we're saying Master and Rebbe Nishnayim would be the Hasura that we have later on, the regular Hasura, in order for him to get Malkus and so forth. The Maharal, in fact, points out that we learn from this, even though usually Ein Eid Nasa Dayan, the Eidim themselves cannot be Dayanim, but here, since like Rashi is saying, this is not a regular Hasura, this is basically based in telling him, don't keep doing this, then that's fine. Then the Beis Din themselves can do it. On the other hand, this is all according to Rashi. The Rambam learns differently, and the Rambam learns that no, the Hasra of our Mishnah is the regular time after he steals, after he's been given Hasra for the stealing, and then he goes and steals and eats the meat and so forth, then he would already get Malkus for that. And the point would be, in other words, that even though, as the next Mishnah is going to tell, as we're going to learn later on, we'll learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, Nidin Al Shem Sefer, this is different than the usual case of a person being Chayiv Misa. He's not Chayiv Misa so much for the stealing and the eating and so forth, but rather Al Shem Sefer, because eventually he's going to end up being a thief and a robber, etc. So you would think, maybe you don't need regular Asura, and therefore the Mishnah is telling us you need regular Asura, but the Mishnah is telling us, even though it makes it sound like you need Asura in front of three, it's really you only need Asura in front of two, just like everybody else. Okay. So the Malkus by Ben Sora Ramona Hechet Siva. Where do we find the concept of Malkus by Ben Sora Ramona? And the answer is Kidir Abba Bohu. Like Rabba Bohu says, we can learn it from the Pasuk. Do Amar Abba Bohu, Lomanu V'Yisru, Mi V'Yisru. We learn as follows. We have a chain of Gzeder Shavas. We have V'Yisru, that it says over here about Ben Sora Ramona, V'Yisru, so they afflict him. We learn that from another place where it says V'Yisru, by the Motzi Shemra. Where the Pasuk also says that Beis Din takes him the Yisru, I say, the Yisru mi Ben, in turn that Yisru we learn from where the Pasuk says, Vahoya im bin hakois harosha. So it starts out like this. We start with having to figure out that the Yisru of Motzi Shemra means Malkus. We learn that from the Yisru that it says by the Ben Sora Ramona. In turn, by the Ben Sora Ramona it says Ben. By Malkus it also says Ben, V'hoyim bin HaKois HaRosha, or Ben Mi Ben, and then we learn that from another, Lamanu v'yisru mi ben or ben mi ben, and then by Ben Sora Ramona we learn from Ben where it says by Malkus v'oyim bina koisa rosha, and therefore we see that he's getting Malkus, and we see that the Motzi Shemra is also getting Malkus. So that's how we learn that the Ben Sora Ramona gets Malkus. Next, we said in the Mishnah Chozer v'Kilkel, if again he does the same bad thing, Nidin v'Esru M'Shloisha, then he's judged by 23 v'Chola, and we said that the original three Dayanim have to be present. So the question is, why? Because it says B'neinu Zeh. But the question is, Hayini Bar Lo Zeh V'Lo Suman. We said in the Mishnah that the word B'neinu Zeh teaches us that they're not blind. How can we also use it to teach us that the original three Dayanim have to be there? And the answer is, Im Kain, Lichta B'neinu Hu. Then the Pasuk could have said, He, our son. My b'neinu zeh, instead it says b'neinu zeh, shema min atarti, therefore we can learn both dinim, that the original three dayanim have to be there, and that the parents can't be blind. That's according to Rashi. The Yad Ramah learns a little differently, that it could have just said b'neinu sora ramona. And again, if it just meant to exclude the blind, it could have said b'neinu hu. Okay. The Mishnah says, Baruch Adshalem Nigmar Dinai. Now, if the Ben Sora Ramona runs away before the Gmar Din, now we learned at the beginning of the Perek that for him to be a Ben Sora Ramona, there's only a small window of opportunity namely, where from when he developed Shteisiris until we said Abshahikif Zokon until the hair surrounds the Eva over there. So now, if he ran away before, if he ran away and Vachakach Hikif Zokon Atachton, and then later on the hair grew in, and now by the time we catch him, he has enough hair surrounding that area, Potter, then he's Potter because at this point he's already, he has a different din. Now he can't be a, now he can't be a Ben Sorerota anymore. The Imish Enigma Dine Borach. On the other hand, if he ran away after Gmar Din, after they had already sentenced him to Skila, Vachat Achik of Zokhan Atachten, and then the Zokhan Atachten grows in, Chayav, then he would be Chayav Skila. Ah, he has a different status, but at this point he's already after Gmar Din, because at this point he's already after Gmar Din, and therefore he's already considered a dead man walking. Havik Gavrik Taylor, Rashi says. It's one thing, when he ran away and before the Gmar Din, we have to try to exonerate him, and here we can easily do that because we can find a reason to exonerate him because he's past the age of a Ben Sura Ramota. But once the Gemara Din has already been done, we have no obligation to try to look for schus for him. So the Gemara brings in this connection a similar point. So here, so what are we saying? In other words, in effect, that because the Ben Sura Ramota's status changed, therefore the halacha about him changes. Because now he's past Zokhan HaTachton, then therefore the Din changes and he's not Chayiv Skila anymore. So let's learn a similar Din. Amar Rav Chanina, Ben Noyach Sheberech HaSashem. If a Ben Noyach cursed Hashem, whereas we learned in the previous Pedek, as one of his Shev Mitzvot Ben Noyach, Vachachach, this is Geyer, and then he became a Ger, Potter, then he'll be Potter from Misa. However, Nishtana Dinoi, Nishtana Misosai. Because, Vinishtansa Misosai. Because his Din has changed, because he's now not a Ben Noyach anymore. Before, he could have been judged by one Aid and one Dayan and no Asra. Now you need Asra and a Sanhedrin of 23 and two Aidim of all of that. Therefore, Nishtanas Misosai. Therefore, his death changes as well. As a Ben Noyach, he would have been Chayef Sayef. He would have been given Hereg, as we learned in the previous Perek. If he did it now as a Yid, he would have been Chayiv Skila. Well, he never was Chayiv Skila in the first place, therefore he's completely potter. So, what's his name of Messiah? Like, can we say that our Mishnah supports Rav Chanina? Borach Ad Shalom Nigma Dine, we're saying that if he ran away before Gmar Din, and then afterwards Zokhan Atachton grows in Potter. My timer, why? The Pashto is the same idea. Lab Mishum Damin and Hoyuv Ishtani Ishtani. Because once he changed, once he's passed the window of opportunity for a Ben Sura Ramota, then we can't judge him as one anymore, even though he originally did the act when he was still within that age. So does our mission approve what Rav Chanina is saying? The answer is loy, not necessarily. Shiny hocha, the Ovid Hashra, Lab Baktolahu. No, because the difference is with a Ben Sura Ramota, if he were to now, as after Zokhan Atachton, if he were to steal money and buy meat and wine, etc., he wouldn't become a Ben Sura Ramota in the first place. As opposed to this Ben Noyach who converted, he's chayav for Birkas Hashem as a Ben Noyach, he's still chayav for the same Aveira as when he's a Yid. So not necessarily would we say that that would be a reason to pater him from Misa. So no, our Mishnah is not a proof for that. Incidentally, Tosfos points out that based on a different Gemara, that a Ben Noyach who becomes a Ger, Hashem may hold him responsible for the fact that he didn't become a Ger all this time, and may hold it against him the various Averis that he did during that time, but here we're talking about Dine Odom. Would it be Chayv Misa? Would it be Chayv Misa based in? Sort of Chanina is saying that not in a case like this. But again, we don't have a proof from our Mishnah. Fine. Toshma, let's try to prove in the next part of the Mishnah. Yeah, Im Mishnah Nigma Dinim Borach, where we said if he runs away after the Gemar Din, and then the Zokhan Atachten grows in Chayav, then he's Chayav Misa. So here we say that even though his status has changed, nevertheless he's still Chayav Misa. So that would prove the opposite of what Rav Chanina is saying. The Gemara says, it doesn't prove anything. Nigma Dine, comrade. You're talking about when after Gmar Din, Nigma Dine, Gavrik Telahu. Once Gmar Din has taken place, he's a dead man walking already. So therefore, so of course we can't say that Nishtana Dino. It's different in the case of the Ben Noyach we're talking about over here. Where there was never sentenced in the first place as a Ben Noyach, and therefore maybe he could be punished, maybe not. We can't prove one way or the other from our Mishnah. Fine. Toshma, Ben Noyach Shehika Es Chavera. Here, let's bring another proof. A Braisa says, a Ben Noyach killed another Ben Noyach, or Baal Esh Es Chavera, or he had relations with another Goy's wife, Vinis Geyer, and then he becomes a Ger, Potter. Then he's Potter because if he had done these things as a Yid, he wouldn't be Chayiv Misa. If a Yid kills a Goy, it's also, he's Oivan Lo Siltzach, but he's not Chayiv Misa for it. A Yid has relations with a Goy's wife, he's not Chayiv Misa for it.
On the other hand, also Pain Bisro. On the other hand, if he had killed a Yid or had relations with a Yid's wife, Venisgayer, and then he became a Ger, Chayev, then he would be Chayev Misa. Now, the Amai, now according to Rav Chanina, why would we say that he's Chayev? Name a Hoyova Ishtini Ishtini. Wouldn't we say that because his status has changed, and where before he didn't need two Edim and Asra and so forth, and now he does, then according to Rav Chanina's principle, Ishtini, it should be different, and he shouldn't be Chayev Misa, and yet the Braisa is saying he is. The answer is Dino Yom Sosavin. And in order for him to be Potter from Misa, it has to be that the Din, the way of bringing him to Beis Din, is different, and that the type of Misa is also different. So in Rav Chanina's case, that works, because as a Ben Noyach, you would need only one Aid and no Hasra and so forth, and his Misa would be the Sayef, whereas with a Yid, you would need two Aidim and Hasra and so forth, and his Misa would be with Skila. Bahai, in this case, where he killed a Yid or had relations with a Jew's wife, Dina Ishtini Misosala Ishtini. The Din is different because doing this as a Goy, he would need only one Aid and no Asra, and as a Yid, he needs two Aidim and Asra, but Misosala Ishtini, but the Misa is no different. Even if he did this as a Yid, he would be Chayev the same Misa. So therefore, that's not a reason to pater him. Well, the Gemara says, what do you mean? B'shlema Ritzeach, fine, by Ritzeach, it's easy to understand. Me'ikra Sayef, v'hashta Sayef. Because as a Ben Noyach killing, he would have been Chayef Sayef, he would have been given head, his head would have been chopped off. And now, as a Yid, that's one of the two cases that Chayef Herek as well is killing. So therefore, that would be a good reason to say he's not Potter. Ela Eishas Ish, but what do you mean by an Eishas Ish? The Misa is no different. Me'ikra Sayef, v'hashta Chenech. But as a Ben Noyach, he would have been getting Sayef for his nus with an Eishes Ish. Now as a Yisrael, he's getting Chenek. So it is a different Misa. The answer is B'naira HaMarosa, because we're talking about where the woman that he had relations with was a Naira HaMarosa, the Aidi V'Aidi V'Skila, where in both cases he's getting Skila. Even though we learned earlier in Masechta that a Ben Noyach usually gets Hereg, but the whole concept of a Naira Marasa doesn't apply among Bnei Noyach, and therefore we said that there we treat him like a Yisrael and we give him Skila. So it really is the same thing. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Well, also can be Yisrael, Jumya de Eshes Chavera Katoni. What do you mean, though? The Mishnah continues, when he did, the Braisa had said, when he does this by a Yid, contrasting it with where he did it by a fellow Goy's wife. Now, by a fellow Goy's wife, there's no such thing as a Naira Marasa, as we said. There's only the matter of, there's only Nisuin and Bia. There's only Bia makes her his wife. So the Braita obviously has to be saying that we're talking about, and the parallel case by Yid would also be where she's fully married. So how could you say that it means that in this case we're talking specifically about a Naira Marasa? That's not parallel to how you'd have with a Goy. Hello, so fine. The Gemara says you're right. What we have to say is as follows. When it comes to a lesser degree of punishment, it's included in the harsher one. So in other words, here, Ben Noyach would have been getting Saif. Had he done it with an Eishas Ish of Yisrael, then he would be getting Chenek. Chenek is less severe than Saif, as we learned earlier in the Masechta. So in other words, the harsher punishment that he would have gotten as a Goy includes the lesser punishment that he would have gotten as a Yid. So now we can say, in other words, in effect, we would say that the Nisa, in effect, we can say he would have gotten, we could have given him Chenek as a Goy, but instead we upgraded him to Saif. But now, as a Yid, he still has Chenek, so therefore we could still say that the same punishment applies. So the Gemara says, "Von Nichol Rabbanan da Ami Sayif Chomer." Well, that works according to the Chachamim, who say that Sayif is the more severe punishment. Elo Rav Shimon Dama Chenek Chomer Ma'ikol Meimer. What about according to Rav Shimon, who says that Chenek is more stringent? That it's the other way around. You can't say that he as a Goy would have been Shayach to Chenek in the first place. He would have been getting Sayif, which according to Rav Shimon is the least severe of all of them. The answer is Rav Shimon, Savala Katana Dvei Menashe. Rav Shimon, in fact, holds that Tana Dvei Menashe that we learned in the Sugya about Shev Mitzvah Bnei Noyach, Do'omar Kol Misa Amur L'Bnei Noyach, Ein El Chenek, where he says that in any case, the default Misa for Bnei Noyach is not, in fact, Sayif, but rather Chenek, so therefore good, so it works out very nicely according to him. Well, the Gemara says, Bishlema Eishas Ish, so then in that case, let's work out with an Eishas Ish. Mi'ikra Chenek, Bahashta Chenek. Fine. Then according to Tana Dvei Menashe, originally as a Goy, he would have gotten Chenek for being Mezana with an Eishes Ish of a Yid, and now also he gets Chenek as a Yid. Ela Ritzeach, but then in that case you have to ask how would it work by the Ritzeach. Me'ikra Chenek v'hashta Sayef. It comes out according to Tana Dvei Menashe, originally for killing a Yid, when he, if he did that as a Goy, he would have been Chayev Chenek.
as Tonad Vemanasha's rule is, and now as a Yid, instead he gets Saif for that, and according to Reb Shimon, Saif is more severe than Chenem. So the Gemara says, fine, here's where we can use the answer that we said before, Kala v'chamura meshach shaycha. The lesser one is included in the greater one. The fact is, we could say that as a Ben Noyach, he's chayav chenek for it, and as a Yisrael, he's chayav chenek, but instead we upgrade him from chenek to sayef. That's not a contradiction. It still means the original Misa is still shaykh to him. Okay, so no proof still one way or the other for that, for Rav Chanina's din, but the Gemara finishes off, Lema Messiah, can we finish off, can we say then, that we can bring a proof for Rav Chanina's din from the following. Talking about a Naira Amorosa, Sorcha V'achatach Bogra, if she was Mizana, Sorcha means she acted wrongly, and then later on she became a Bogeris, the whole concept of Naira Amorosa is only while she's a Naira, during the 6 months after she develops Shesiris, so then if later on she became a Bogeris, Tiden Dechenek, then she gets Chenek. B'skila my time aloy, now why isn't she getting Skila as she would have as a Naira? Lav Mishum Dohayova Ishtini Ishtini. It must be, because since her status changed, she went from a Naira to a Bogeris, and therefore her din changes as well. Here, all the more so, because he changed completely, because at least by the Naira Barasa, who became a Begeras, you still have, both as a Naira and as a Begeras, you still need two Edim and Asra, and a Beis Din of 23 and so forth. Here you have an even bigger change, because the Ben Noyach is not only is there a difference in the Misa, but there's a difference in how you bring him to the Misa, because before you needed only one Ed, and here you need two, etc. So therefore, that would be a proof to Rav Chanina's din. The Gemara says, no. Ha'omale Rav Yechon Latana, Toni v'skila, Tiden v'skila. In fact, you should teach in your Braisa that she is, in fact, Chayiv Skila, because yes, even though her body has changed, her Misa has not changed. So therefore, in fact, according to that Braisa, it would come out that Rav Chanina, that in Rav Chanina's case, the Goy would actually still be Chayiv Misa. Okay, so we still don't have a solid proof against Rav Chanina, and the halacha is in fact like him, which means an interesting thing, by the way. We always say gerush nis gayer kekotin shener ledomi, that when a person becomes a ger, he's considered like a newborn child. But here we actually see, at least as far as these dinim, that he's not, and there's still a remnant of what he did before, such that if he did something before as a Rav Chanina is actually saying that in a case like this, where the din and the misa change, then in fact he's potter. But in other cases, we're saying there could be a case where someone did something as a Ben Noyach, for example, killing a Yid, or being Mizana with a Jew's Eishes Ish, and he's still Chayav Mitzah even after he became a Ger, so in that case, the Avera is not wiped away just by him becoming a Ger.